Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Flosky, and come with me, because it's all for one when you hear the monks chant. Come for the Knights of the Round Table, but stay for the fish slapping song. We may be Laker girls, but with the song that goes like this, we will still ask, where are you? You won't succeed on Broadway if you're always asking whatever happened to my part, but if you're all along because his name is Lancelot, or you sing King Arthur's song, or you're not brave Sir Robin, then you can either run away or always look on the bright side of life. Joining us today are the usual Grell finders, including Kevin. He's not dead yet, Jaeger.
Yeah, that was a good one. I appreciate that. I'm not.
Kimberly, our Spamalot game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
Wait, the song is called It's All Alone, right?
I'm All Alone?
Yeah, in Spamalot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have this thing where my autocorrect changes alone to along all the time because the G and the E aren't close to each other on the keyboard, but it converts it for some reason.
Do you text about being alone a lot?
No, I don't think so. Maybe I do.
I'm all alone.
But on that note, with us today is a delightful man. You may have seen him in Spamalot or Rock of Ages, among other things like the Broadwasted Besties Battle.
Yes.
Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Matt Bay.
Y'all ready for this?
Oh, man. What an intro. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, guys.
Absolutely.
At your house?
At my house. That's the best part about this. I can stay in my sweatpants.
I know.
I look presentable from the waist up, and that's about it.
100%.
You did do your hair, though, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. It's really hard for boys to do our hair. We just sort of...
Yeah, just flip it over.
My wife loves that. She's like, you're ready already?
Welcome. We had you on our previous episode for the Broadway Besties Battle, but now you're all alone.
You're all alone.
It was Matt Band all along.
It was Matt Band all along.
I love that song has now become just part of the culture.
Listen, In quarantine, all we do is cling on to the little things. So
we went from Joe Exotic to Agatha All Along.
Yes.
I know, right?
God bless America.
But you know, that makes sense that we would start out with Joe Exotic and end with Catherine Hahn.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a full circle.
I bet she'd love to hear that too.
Yeah. I guarantee you. Have you seen the video like they've shown like behind the scenes of her filming stuff where she had to do like a scene where she did like the maniacal laugh?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a video of her like doing the laugh, and then she's like, did we get it? I think we got it.
Oh my God. No, I haven't seen that, but I mean, like, we got so obsessed with WandaVision in this house that my wife, who is not a comic book person at all, was like listening to podcasts about it, watching YouTube videos. I would come home and she'd be like an hour and a half deep into a WandaVision YouTube hole. I'm surprised I haven't seen that video, but I'm sure if I went out there and mentioned it to her, she'd be like, oh yeah, absolutely, I've seen it.
That's so good.
Awesome. Well, before we dig into anything else, what are you drinking? Matt, what are you drinking?
I am drinking out of my fancy copper cup a Dark and Stormy.
Ooh, I don't think... Has anyone ever had a Dark and Stormy on Broadwasted?
I don't think so.
Ooh. Yes. No, my Dark and Stormy, though. This is a legit Dark and Stormy because it's the actual, like, Bermuda Gosling's rum.
Oh, nice.
If you talk to anybody from Bermuda, that's the only way to have an actual Dark and Stormy is with Gosling's
yes.
rum.
Yes, cool.
Yeah. But I got kind of obsessed with these when I was working on a cruise ship doing, of all things, Rock of Ages. And like, it's such a great, like,
Rock of Ages, a cruise ship show.
Yes.
Why? Yes.
It was 90 minutes and it was,
oh wow,
exhausting. Yeah. No intermission. Just like plow right through. It's
yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I have so many versions of that show swimming around up here.
Oh, that's true. When you're on stage, do you ever just like be like, oh, we have to do this scene. This is not in the version that I'm doing tonight.
Correct. Like all the time. I've done that multiple times.
Amazing. But
we were in rehearsals for this last one, the off-Broadway version. And I started doing something and Kelly Devine stopped everything. And she looks at me and she goes, can you please stop doing the ship show and do our show now?
Yes.
I was like, okay, yes, boss. Sorry.
You're like, so sorry, so sorry.
So sorry, sorry.
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I just finished like my third water in a row because I had a bit of a headache today. And now sure. I might go pour myself a glass of wine.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Just to round out my headache.
Yeah, I get that. And top it off. A little floater. Kevin, what are you drinking?
I'm currently double fisting just because like I started with this. You can't see because it's my new fancy sparkly glass. But there's a mimosa in it.
Mm.
Because I left over... I thought I wanted champagne last night, so I opened, well, it was Prosecco, but I had like one glass and then was like, oh, that's all I wanted. So I had like the majority of the thing left. So I just poured it all into a glass and put a splash of orange juice on top. So that's mimosa.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we're switching to red wine after. So I don't know how that's going to
cool.
go.
Ooh.
But we'll see.
That sounds like a headache. I mean, good for you.
Your turn for a headache.
Awesome. And I'm drinking Trader Joe's lime seltzer with tequila in it.
Nice.
You took a big swig and then you poured tequila into a can.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I can now vouch for this method because I visited Brian last week. And
it's true.
I, just because I was in his house, I had to be like, may I take a sip of seltzer and pour some alcohol inside of it?
She did. It was approved.
Though you do get like a teensy little shot if your aim is not good while you're pouring.
Yes.
And oh, so then yeah. you have to kind of like the like.
Yeah, it's a pre-shot. Absolutely. And like maybe I need to invent like a little funnel or buy a little funnel. I'm sure someone invented
it. Invent it, but you need, also, yeah. I have a little funnel, but I use it for like baking.
You could just buy a glass and like pour the two into it.
No.
I don't understand.
It's invented a funnel.
But Matt, while we have you here, some people may or may not know, but depending on how much of the episode that you were on, they listened to, that we all know each other from like we all spent time together at LBI, Long Beach Island, and Surflight. However, before that, when we were in high school, you and I met at Paper Mill Summer Program, Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey. But so we've known each other for a while, and when Kevin and I met, you were there that summer as a performer. Kimberly, did you know Matt from those summers or no?
No, I think your summer was the summer before I was there.
Yeah. Kimberly came the next summer.
I wish we had crossed over. But
I know. We met on a different island, an island of Martha.
Oh, that was the, wait, was Justin's the wedding was the first time you met Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I love that. That means you still got to meet Matt, like, outside of, like, Broadwasted. Mm-hmm. You met Matt in real world.
Oh, very true. Brian was there, but it was a friendship journey.
I will never forget Matt in a full head-to-toe Cher costume.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Showplace Halloween.
What was the theme to it? And it was, like, famous couples.
Yeah, it was famous couples because I went as ketchup and mustard.
Oh, yeah.
With somebody else, yeah.
You did. And then I remember there was, like, God and the Devil were another one. But I ended up going as with the Jen, who was the head of the costume shop.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And she comes up to about here on me, as a lot of people do. And so she was like, oh, what's
up? For those listening at home, he's tall and people are smaller than him.
That's true. But she was like, we should go with something. It's funny because we're different heights and we were throwing around all this stuff. And she's like, Sonny and Cher. And I was like, so I would be Cher, right? And she's like, yeah. I was like, great. She built me a dress complete with, like, built-in, like, bigger boobs than I think Cher ever actually had.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys in the cast did my makeup and, like, gave me, like, a full drag beat. And
it was incredible.
It was pretty. I won, I think.
You did.
There were winners at Showplace Halloween?
Well, it was sort of like costume contest.
There was some costume contest. They definitely won.
Yeah. It's a bit hazy.
As those summers are.
Yeah. They,
I went with my friend Alicia as we went as each other. So I wore.
Oh, that's right.
I wore a dress out of her closet and she wore one of my, like, boy outfits.
I do remember that, actually.
Like, she wore cargo shorts and, like, a polo shirt, like, pop collar, and one of my hats. And I was wearing, like her, like, I don't know. I was like, a full-on, like, it was supposed to be like her beach cover-up, but I wore it like it was a dress. Mm-hmm. It was great.
That summer was, I feel like there were a lot of theme parties that summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the themes were get blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, the themes
and
were,
now we have a podcast about it.
Yeah. Most of the themes were like, we're at a bar where it's $1 cans of PBR.
Yeah. The themes of the night, can you make it to Chegg?
I always made it to Chegg. Make it to Chegg, but I always made it to Chegg.
Yeah.
Sometimes waltzed into the kitchen of Chegg asking for a Band-Aid. So.
I bet you weren't the first.
We walked back from the HUD and it was like too long. Oh, my face went away.
Oh no.
We can still hear you though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you,
there you are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, the HUD.
HUD.
Yeah.
Oh, the HUD. That was the.
It was a little too far away, but they had
shuffleboard. Yeah.
And I accidentally wore the wrong shoes to walk there. And so when we went to Chegg, I walked up and I was like, I have blisters. I need a Band-Aid.
Yeah, because the HUD is mixed in like in the residential area. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think there was the other place that had the multiple levels, which was it's not there anymore. It's the catch.
The catch. That's the one I was thinking
of. That was like a club.
That was like more like a club. It's something else now. It was on the bay side by like Tucker's.
Like right. You had to like plan to all go to the catch.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Anyway, might have even been further. Sorry, we're like,
no, this is great. This is great.
You've never been to LBI. This is the worst podcast.
Oh, I know. Oh, man. But if you go to LBI, tweet at us when you're at Chegg or Buckaloo's or the Marlin or the Englewood Inn, the Seashell.
Seashell.
Where else did
you say Nardies?
No, Nardi's. The Nardi's party bus.
Oh, my God. I ended up on that party bus once. I have no recollection of how I got onto that party bus.
Yeah, you'd call them, and they'd pick you up. Oh, and you just, oh, my gosh. What a wild time. What a
magical place.
Yeah, I love it. But also a magical place is Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin.
Kevin's Corner. Now I'll get one.
It's like your turn. I'm leaving.
Corner, where I get to do whatever I want because it's my corner and it's awesome. And so I thought it was interesting because we actually got to see Matt Band off the Broadway in Rock of Ages, which was a show that was interesting for me because it was another one of those shows that had been out for a while and like lots of people had seen it. Everybody knew it. They'd seen the movie, but like somehow it had like missed me. So I hadn't seen it until I saw it off Broadway with Matt Band. So I thought there's a whole list of like Broadway shows that I don't actually know the plot of them at all. I'm usually pretty good. I have a pretty good knowledge of most shows and a lot of obscure shows, but some of these older shows, I have no idea what they are. And so we're going to play a Kevin's Corner where I am going to just describe in the Kevinist way possible what I think this show is about.
Oh, God.
And the three of you, Brian, Kimberly, and Matt, are going to compete together to try to guess what show I'm talking about based on my Kevin description of what the plot is.
Okay. Wait, are we a team then, the three of us?
You guys are all going to... We're going to see who can get the most. So you're competing.
Oh, I see.
Oh, not a team.
He said compete together, so I was like, oh.
Well, you know what? It'll be Matt Band and Kimberly versus Brian.
All right.
So here we go. So the first one. All right. So here's the thing. I always hear this title, and I think it's the thing about Petruchio and, like, the girl that he, like, tries to control. But, like, it's not that. And then I'm like, well, I don't know what this is. But then I'm like, I guess it's serendipitous of some kind. So it must be about that.
I don't even know where to start with that.
All right, so let's talk this out. Petruchio is Kiss Me, Kate. But, yeah. Like, it's obviously not Kiss Me, Kate. So maybe it's, like, Boys from Syracuse or Gentlemen like of Verona.
But it's something serendipitous.
Kismet.
There it is.
Oh, well done, Matt. Well done.
Which was actually done at Surf Life the summer before I got there.
Oh, I would have known.
Wait, Matt, what show were you in that summer?
Oh, I was in Ragtime, Hairspray.
Wait, were you Tate?
No. No. I was...
No, Dave was Tata.
Yeah, I was coveted role of Willie Conklin, everybody's favorite character.
Oh, no!
Yeah. The only actual Jew in the cast was playing the racist Irish guy. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. And then we did Little Shop that summer. Oh, and Buddy Holly.
Oh, didn't you also do Lady Be Good?
Oh, I was not there for that.
That
was before me, and that show is
that was their first show of the summer, right? And Matt came right after.
No. Oh, okay. Anyway, sorry, Kevin. Back to Kevin's
corner. You were Mushnick?
No, I was 22. I wasn't playing the old man at that point.
Who were you?
My God, I was Orange Scrivello, DDS.
That's right. You were the dentist.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay. So the second one. All right. So I'm guessing this one is about like New York people and like somebody's a buddy of someone, so it's like maybe it's a mafia thing, but like I think Bea Arthur was in this, but she wasn't because she was in something else. But like this is like a show Bea Arthur
Golden Boy.
No, that's a good guess, but it doesn't have to do with that. I just was rambling. Oh, you know, on Dawson's Creek, they call the girl this, which I thought was weird. But
Joey,
like,
pal Joey,
there it is.
Sorry, the more I drink, the more Jersey I get.
All right, so this next one, I consider this upstate New York because I think everything that's above the top of Manhattan is upstate New York. I think this is upstate because like people go to college here. And like,
I know it's not this, but a Bronx Tale is a funny answer.
Totally.
Well, the Bronx is upstate.
Yeah, I know people go to our friend Marie went to college here, I think. But like, she's a girl, so like, she's not one of these people.
Boys from Syracuse.
Yeah, boys from Syracuse.
Oh, that is kind of upstate, though.
It's central New York, if we're going to get technical, but yeah, it's upstate.
Okay, so this one. I literally no idea what it's about, but I'm pretty sure the star has to be either a gay man, a like big woman who has an amazing belt, or like a drag queen. And like, I feel like every gay person has said this title of the show when they like get off of like a ride on like a carnival that spins. Because I know I've done this.
Of a carnival that spins?
Like a spinny ride in a carnival. Like your gay friend definitely got off this ride and said this as they got off.
I think I know what it is.
I just gave away part of it.
Stop the world, I want to get off.
Yes, it is.
Once again, I have no idea what that show's about. I somehow just know that title.
I think the two of you combined not knowing what things are about.
Really? Maybe we're just mind melding here.
Yeah. Totally. Okay, this next one, I'm pretty sure it's just like, isn't it a modernization of like the Rumpelstiltskin story? But like, there's not a pot of gold here.
Finian's Rainbow.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, that's not what it's about, Kev.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
At all, actually.
Not even close.
This show is like basically what the whole section of Grease Lightning is basically this show, I guess.
Roar of the grease paint, the smell of the crowd.
All the way around.
Oh, the smell of the roar. Yeah, what some version of that.
Okay, you know what?
Why do we both know it wrong?
I'm going to give that to you because it's on my list. So we'll give it. That wasn't what I was describing, but it works. So we'll go with it.
Okay.
This one, so I feel like the Music Man totally talked about this and in his like love song to his girlfriend. And then somebody was like, oh, that's interesting. We should make an entire musical out of that concept.
Cool.
No, but like his love song.
Love song. Till There Was You, right?
Isn't that it? Part of that song got its own musical.
Till Death Do Us Part.
What does he sing about in that love song?
Bells.
Bells are ringing?
Bells are ringing.
Oh, I love that show so much.
All right. This musical, I totally know that B. Arthur was in it at one point, and I'm pretty sure it's like a low-key mafia musical. But it's not a musical.
Oh, the Three Penny Opera.
There it is.
Nice. Well done.
I did that at Wagner College back in '04.
Jeez.
This one is the prequel to The Sound of Music, and it's about how she like learned to play guitar and figured out her life.
Nonsense?
That's a really good guess, but no.
Oh my God.
It's how she found like her way to teach kids about music.
School of Rock.
I thought these were old musicals.
The Magic Show.
How does she teach kids about music?
Do Re Mi. Oh. Yeah, all right.
That's good.
It's good.
Okay. This is what would happen if me and Tom Daly met and fell in love. Like, this would be the ultimate outcome.
I love you, you're perfect, now change.
Oh. So good, but no.
Something about getting married, maybe?
But what happens after that?
The gay divorce.
You got it.
Oh my God.
Okay. And this one, I can't do this thing, which makes me mad, but like they already wrote a musical about not being able to do that thing.
Whistle.
Right, but like you should do this to like the thing that like sometimes makes you cold.
Whistle on the Wind.
Yes, there it is.
About whistling.
Oh, my musical theater history teacher would be so mad at me right now.
I mean, I will. Yeah.
Except these aren't the plots.
Oh, she'd be mad at Kevin, really.
Yes. Mad at me. And the final one is, this is what I would say to my French pet if it peed on the floor.
Wee wee.
We could buy it for wholesale. Wee wee. The pee's on the floor. No wee wee.
And I'm mad at this, at my French pet for doing this.
No, no, Nanette.
There it is.
There it is.
I love that your dog's name is Nanette.
Yep.
What a
fancy. This has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
That was wild. No, actually, relating this back, it's a most of my like golden age Broadway knowledge comes from those summers at Paper Mill.
Because they always did one?
Well, because the shows that we learned and did and all of that, like, were all golden age stuff. So, like, we had to learn the scenes and stuff like that. True, so, like, yeah. like Bells Are Ringing, I know, because, like, so one of the girls sang that in a medley and, like, we had to learn, like, the, you know, the show and stuff. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Let's talk about Rock of Ages, classic musical theater.
Classic musical theater, yes.
Classic. Why do you think it just has such a life to it? Like, even with, you know, a divisive movie, if you will, like, it comes back. It's
Have you seen the movie?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Yep.
Okay.
Like,
we're allowed to say that because the new version of the show, they wrote a joke in about how bad the movie is. So,
yeah.
Everybody's aware. Sorry, Brian, go ahead.
No, it's okay. You've been in different versions of it, cruise ship, off Broadway, like all the above. Did you tour Asia with it as well?
No, I didn't. I toured the States with it. And
okay.
And I did it on Broadway for a little bit too.
Right. Yeah. So, I guess, like, what is it about, from someone who's on the stage versus someone who's probably seen it a couple of times at the very least, like, what is it about the show that's like so long lasting and that people really get into?
I think it's pure escapism. And I think that's why it was so successful when it first showed up on the scene, because it was right around the time of the recession, the last recession. Kind of coming out of that. And I think people really wanted something where they could just sit and enjoy. I mean, like, when you think of that music, it's stuff that everybody knows and everybody loves. Every generation from the 1980s on has had their moment with Don't Stop Believing, whether it's, you know, Journey or Glee or whatever. You know,
The Sopranos.
The Sopranos, of course, yeah. was that the finale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, but let's not get into that. But I think that's what it is. I think it's just a chance for people to escape. They remember this time where things were a lot more carefree. the show doesn't take itself seriously, but it has a heart too, you know? So you're not sitting there watching some big, heavy, you know, moment in theater. You're just going and having a good time. And if you get too drunk, who cares? You know, like, you're kind of encouraged to just have fun and cut loose. I don't know many other shows on Broadway like that, you know? I think that's why. It's an experience.
I think that was the first experience I had where, like, you could like, order a drink to your seat or something like that. Like, is that right, Kimberly?
Tokens.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw it when I was, like, 19 or something. And I remember the party ahead of us really stocked up on their tokens so that they could order throughout the show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they circulate with Jell-O shots and the test tube shots. Like, I remember when I first got cast on the tour, I went to go see it on Broadway. And I was like, I really want to, like, pay attention and, like watch the show and, like, see what I'm going to be doing. And by intermission, I was like, 3 Jell-O shots, 2 PBRs. This show is awesome, man!
So it created such a fun vibe.
They do.
That, yeah, like, you weren't expecting. I got lottery seats the first time I saw it. When you would just, like, walk around the theater district and enter the lottery. The Rock of Ages lottery, I think, was last.
Yeah.
Or it was, like, a half an hour later than everyone else's.
Yeah.
And we just, like, got right in.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It's fun. I mean, I think that's why. I think it's just fun. I think that, you know, it's not one you have to overthink. You know? You just go and have a good time. You know?
And what would you say is, like, the biggest thing that you took away? Because I don't think a lot of actors get to have the experience of doing a show on Broadway, off Broadway, on national tour, and on cruise ship. So, like, what do you think it's, what has it been like for you as an actor to kind of play the show on, like, so many different levels?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Yeah, we only ask good questions here.
I was really just saying that because I was about to burp and I was trying to keep it down. Microphone. No, I think that the first thing I take away from it is that I think there's a certain like reverence paid to, like, the Broadway production versus this production. I have worked with the most talented people across the board in every single production. I've gotten to work, especially on the cruise ship, with people from different countries. Like, we had some people from the UK, some South African people who, you know, may not really know the you know, American culture of the 80s as well, but they do because, you know, everybody just connects to it. And so I think the thing I've seen all the way across the board is wherever you take this show, whoever you put it in front of, they just have a good time, and the people on stage can't help but get caught up in that too. So, you know, regardless of, like, you know, oh, you know, I'm working with a person with 4 Broadway credits, or I'm working with somebody who's, you know, 21 and just out of college, there still has to be a certain level of, like, fierceness and ability too, but everybody connects with it and has such a great fun time. I think that's the thing that I've seen in every single production. You just can't help but get swept up.
All right. What's the craziest audience story?
we could do a whole podcast about that.
Let's do it.
Let's do
Hello,
it.
Hello. No.
excuse me. Probably. So a couple come to mind. The one that pops into my mind was when we were working on the ship, there's, you know, these people get their, like, unlimited drink packages.
Right.
And so, and the other thing is, on the ship, you don't have to pay to come to the show. It's all included. This woman came in with 2 bottles of champagne, plopped herself in the 3rd row. And I think that people don't realize that the actors can see them. And so she plopped down, she's chugging down champagne. Halfway through the show, she passed out. And, like, I'm not talking about, like, just kind of, like, fell asleep, like, passed out backwards. Things were hanging out. Like, it just was, like, a mess. And there's a moment in the show where I kind of had this take to the audience, and I just started messing with her. I was like, everybody who's sitting around her, get up, move away. Like, and let's just start like messing with her and throwing things at her. And she had no idea, absolutely passed out drunk. Never woke up. The show ended and two ushers had to like carry her back. Like, I hope she's okay. I'm sure she's fine. Like, there was no,
you know what though? We don't know what her life was. She might have had like the most stressful job on the planet and she just needed like a week on a cruise.
Exactly. Like,
she was like, I'm going to be not sober for any of this.
Not at all. And then the other one, there's one more crazy one when we played Schenectady, New York on tour.
Yes.
And these people, there were people about halfway back, these two women got so blackout drunk that they actually got into a fist fight during High Enough, which is like the only love ballad in the show. Where it's like really sort of like the more tender moment. And these two women are wailing on each other. The cops came. And then we get to the finale and everybody comes out at the end. And like, you know, we're doing the like encore, whatever thing. And I don't know if the audience has seen the show, but my character dies at the end. Spoiler alert, whatever. Everybody probably knows by now. But I'm in these big, giant angel wings, and I've got, like, my white fringe hanging off me. And three women, out of nowhere, bum rush the stage. This woman comes up, grabs my hips, and starts, like, gyrating on me. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do with this. Like,
and you're hanging from like a string, like you're like wired.
Yeah. So those
were. Wait, this was the same performance as the fist fights.
Yep. Yep.
So wait, you're just on stage and someone grabs you.
Yeah, she just got up on stage and started grinding with me, and it happened to like two other people. Stacey Jacks got groped, and yeah, it's killer. It's fun times. This stuff happens all the time. Like when I tell you, like once a week when we were at New World Stages, once a week somebody would get dragged out of the show for being too drunk and rowdy.
Well, the night that Brian and I went, there was very clearly like a party bus came in from like either Jersey or like Long Island or somewhere where like they had like sufficiently used up the party aspect of said bus before the theater. Mm-hmm.
We had another night where somebody got thrown out. He was so upset that he went into the bathroom and lit up a joint to calm himself down. Got arrested, dragged out. That was a good one. Oof. Yeah. It happens all the time, though, I'm telling you. And, like, I always love it when, like, newbies to the show are like, oh, my God, can you believe it? And I'm like,
yeah. You're like, wait for a couple weeks on this contract. But, like, also, wouldn't it be amazing if the same, like, behavior randomly happened like during the run of Jane Eyre on Broadway? Like, just like, pick a random show like that. You're like, it's so weird, but like when Peter Rivera did The Visit, the same thing.
Kevin, I kid you not, that's the exact one I was thinking of too. I was like, imagine if it was The Visit.
And like those people are spitting on that coffin and they keep screaming and getting rowdier.
Oh, we should do that. The revival, Kevin. We're going.
We got to go make this happen.
So moving off of Broadway for a second, you are having twins.
I am having twins. Well, my wife is having twins.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she'd be pretty upset if I was like, yes.
At some point we'll be handed twins.
Yeah, you're gonna have to raise twins if you you know, if you don't, you know, if you hang around.
And just so our listeners mean, we're speaking about human babies.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
yeah, not little puppies. There's not going to be little Nanettes running around.
Unless you choose to name the twins Nanette.
Amazing. Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Are you superstitious? Like, are you going to find out what they're assigned at birth? Are you going to, do you want to know the names? Like, are you going to let people know names? Like, what's your pre-twin philosophy?
Oh, man.
My twin philosophy.
My twin philosophy.
No, I think we do want to know what genders they're going to be assigned at birth. Also, I mean, we have no preconceived notions of how, you know, they're going to choose to, you know, live their lives and all that. But we do want to know because we want to get names ready. We want to be prepared. we're Virgos, so we want to like pick out all the clothing and all the monogram stuff and like have everything ready and
everything has a place.
Oh, everything has a place. You know, we're gonna have to like name the put names on the sleep schedule spreadsheets that we're creating and everything.
Yeah.
That's all gonna get thrown out the window. People who are listening to me right now, they're like, "You idiot! That's not gonna happen." It's funny you ask about names though, because we have had this conversation before, and I will say that we do go back and forth on it a lot, because when we found out that my wife was pregnant, like the day we found out, we told our families, and that's not something that most people do. You know, they usually tend to wait, but we're both very close to our parents, so we told them right away. But when it comes to names, we don't think we want anybody to know until they're born, because as much as we love our parents and our families, they're very judgmental people. And they're not like going to openly be like, "No, I hate that name." It'll be like, "We're going to name our kid this." And they'll be like, "Oh." And it'll just be that eyebrow or the cock of the head. And we'll be like, "They hate it. They hate it. Abort. We have to change it. We have to come up with 4 new names."
Randomly drop something like, "Oh, that's a great name. That was the name of so-and-so." And they ruin it for you forever.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny though. I saw a meme today that was like, "I never knew how many people I hated until I had to start picking out the name for my kid." And it's so true, because we go through so many names. We're like, "Oh, what about this? No. I knew a girl named Melissa back in kindergarten. She kicked me in the shins. It was bad." We're Never forgive her. Yeah.
But when you like hand someone a baby and you're like, "This is so,"
yeah, you can't complain.
They don't
then.
Get to judge.
This is your grandchild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their name is blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be paying for college for this one.
I hope so. If you're listening, yes, you will be.
I do think that Kevin had a question for you about potential traps that you could fall into the future.
Oh, what's that?
I did.
I'm giving you a traps, you know.
Traps.
Like maybe parental?
Oh, right.
What a buildup. I'm so excited.
I was just saying, like, have you discussed the fact that since you're having twins, that is your duty to get divorced as quickly as you can after the babies are born, and then move to a different country where you developed a different accent for only one of said children.
Oh,
and
God.
Then have to plan out that they will meet again at summer camp in, yes, like, what, 13 years from birth? 14?
11?
11?
Gotta be younger.
And then dip their Oreos in peanut butter one night because they hated each other so much they got put in solitary camp confinement.
Like, is this been a discussion? Because, like, I feel like it's required of twins.
Absolutely.
Or else, like, they have to go, like, the opposite route of, like, once they have to, like, get shipwrecked and then one plays pretends to be another one, like,
oh, wow. I mean, will you teach them "Let's get together"?
Yeah, like,
thank you, Brian, because I there's been a lot of discussion about the Lindsay Lohan one, but I'm a purist. I'm definitely a Haley Mills guy.
Of course,
with that haircut.
What was it, Maureen?
Actually, that's the thing I'm insisting on, is that if we have girls, they're getting the Haley Mills haircut.
Oh, absolutely.
Because apparently hate my children already.
Yeah, one of them is gonna be Haley and one of them is gonna be Bliss.
Oh, that's good. Miss Bliss.
Good tie-in.
No, you know what? I will say this though about the Parent Trap movies. I never realized how funny. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Okay.
because Matt, they are, and the way that some people get heated up about certain things, that movie is delightful in its, it is vile. It is vile.
It is
those people
vile.
Like those parents should be in jail. That is just like, oh my God, I'm so upset.
100%. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And you know, like, I had never really thought of it until when I'm telling you, like, we found out we were having twins, which was the craziest day to begin with. But then, like, the week later, we decided to start watching these movies again. And we're looking at each other like, what the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
How is this okay? And then we're expected to root for you?
Yeah.
We're expected to root for you to fall in love again? If I was these kids, the minute I turned 18, I would never looking back.
here's the thing that like ruined, the thing that ruined me was I watched like the Hayley Mills version, loved it. The Lindsay Lohan version, like I'm gay, so of course I loved it. But like, then it's like, you think, then there's this, there's, have you seen the documentary that's about like three brothers who were like,
yes, three identical strangers.
They were three identical strangers. It was like triplets that for some reason were all separated and they like always felt like something was wrong and something was missing in their lives. And then they found each other random. It was like super random. And they found each other, but like in the documentary, like spoiler alert, like they were never able to recover. Even though they found each other, like something was so fractured by not being together because of like the unique makeup of kids that are born that way. Mm-hmm. That I watched that, I was like, this wouldn't be a happy ending for these girls.
No.
In therapy for like the rest of their life.
Well, I mean, especially with some of the stuff that I've been reading about with twins when they're, you know, especially when they're newborns, you know, they say a lot of the times that twins need to sleep in the same room for the first couple of years because they help soothe each other because they're used to each other from the womb. And so they actually kind of help soothe each other to sleep. And sometimes, and we're really hoping this is a thing, that they have less trouble sleeping because I know. I was like, ooh, I'm gonna pin all my hopes on this sentence in this article, and that's where we're going.
See, Matt's like, we're buying in bulk because they sleep better.
That's right. Yeah,
and then there's also the documentary Twinsters.
Oh yeah, Samantha Futterman, who we know.
Who we know from Paper Mill. She's an actress who was in Memoirs of a Geisha playing one of the younger versions of the characters, and a girl saw her in London and was like, wait, that looks like me. And they got together via Facebook and found out that they had been twins separated at birth in the South Korean adoption world.
What? Yeah,
I think she ended up her sister ended up in France, and I remember Or
vice versa. She was adopted by a French couple and then like lived in London, something like that.
Oh, maybe that's what some of yeah.
Was her name Nanette?
No.
No.
That sleep thing I think might be real because I follow some twins on TikTok. It's mostly just this one family will post like the what's it called? The baby monitor footage.
Yeah.
Twins like chit chatting each other back to sleep. And the one will be like, I need my big blue bear. And the other one's like, well, I'll find it for you. And like got out of their crib to find the bear that the other one had dropped and like put it back into the other one's crib.
Stop it. That's so
cute. It's the cutest thing. They're the cutest.
Oh,
the other day they were doing math going to bed.
Oh, well, that won't be my kids. if they've got any of me in them, they're not gonna be doing math.
And they're doing their time.
So they should. So I know you're a Yankees fan, but will you be buying Minnesota Twins gear?
Absolutely not. Do you want to know something too? This has been a very contentious subject in my house too, because my wife is from Massachusetts, and her whole family, they're all Red Sox fans.
Sure. So
when I married,
is that bad if you like the Yankees?
Yes, that's very bad, Kevin.
Okay, they don't like each other.
No.
Don't. And
it's like the Sharks and the Jets, but baseball.
Oh, see, I thought you liked the Mets, so I wore a Mets hat for you.
Oh, they're fine.
I'd like to see my Philly fanatic.
A little ragtag team. They're okay.
Yeah, it's a very expensive ragtag team.
I know, they really are. No, but that's been like a very heated conversation because my wife doesn't follow sports at all. But she's dead set on like
buy your kids a Red Sox hat.
And she's like, but won't that be cute? No.
Will you make one of each? One is a Red Sox fan and one is a Yankee fan.
No, I'm not gonna make my kids do anything.
That's true.
But I except for being Yankees fans.
But like for Yankee fans. And it takes
I won't make them do anything. But they will be Yankees fans, so help them God.
Are you going to show them all the Mary-Kate and Ashley videos, like Brother for Sale and Logical Eye Ranch, like all like the mystery movies? But
only until they start going to Paris and London, and then once that happens, we're cutting it
off. Yeah, you don't need that.
Although we do know, well, first of all, two little pieces of trivia. Number one, we're not having identical twins. We do know that they're...
Then this whole conversation was a waste of time.
But listen to this. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, are fraternal twins.
That I knew, because you're talking to, like, between me, Kimberly, and Kevin, you're talking to professional Mary Kay and Ashley Nose.
That's true.
Gotcha. I, yeah.
They're mirror twins, right?
I yeah. saw a double-double.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. Yeah, I couldn't believe that, though. And so that's what my wife's doctor was like, yeah, so... I mean, if it is two of the same gender, they could end up looking basically identical.
True. And they have a sister who's a chaos witch.
Have you thought about at birth tattooing one of their faces like a different face that you know?
Yeah, with the Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Face yeah.
Or just like right across the chest, just be like a like thing number one.
Like Memento.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. I'm sure tattooing children, that's definitely
fine.
Well, this has been super informative. So let's play a game.
Yeah. Ryan's like, we've discovered how many of us should never be allowed to have children. So let's
am I one? Because too late.
Don't really do a check. So there you go.
You're doing good.
Sure, let's play a game. So we can just do a round of dirty hands on a hard body.
Okay.
So if you've never played, you have two hands at the ready. Put them down in front of you on, I don't know, a table, your lap. That's your hard body. And
I'll put it on my chest because it's my hard body.
Ooh.
It's a category game. So we'll go around in a circle, rapid fire in a category, saying things as quickly as you can think of them. If you repeat, if you take too long with an answer, or you just can't think of anything else, you put one hand up. That's your dirty hand. If you have a dirty hand, you get to pick the category for the next round. You get two dirty hands, you're out, and then we play until there is one lone victor.
Cool.
Okay.
Let's do a practice round, shall we?
Yeah.
Also, I think we're all in different orders on each other's Zoom screens. So I will say the order that I see in a circle would go Kevin to me to Matt to Brian to Kevin.
Cool.
Great.
So I go after Kevin. Matt, you go after
Kevin. Kevin, Kimberly, Matt, Brian. Kevin, Kimberly, Matt, Brian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. I'm ready.
A practice category, cereals. Ooh. I'll start with Cheerios.
Cornflakes.
Cheerios. Oh, no.
Oh, you're out.
Practice round. Okay, Brian, so now that you have a fake dirty hand, pick a category.
Sure. I'm going to go with, since we're talking WandaVision, Marvel MCU-specific movies.
Okay.
The titles of the films.
The title of the film that fits into the MCU narrative.
Okay.
Cool. I'm looking at my Disney Plus screen in my mind.
Yeah. Do I start?
Yeah, you can start, Kevin.
Captain America, Winter Soldier.
The Incredible Hulk.
Doctor Strange.
Iron Man.
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 3.
Captain America: Civil War.
Captain America: The First Avenger.
Captain Marvel.
Black Widow.
Avengers: Infinity War.
Avengers: Endgame.
Avengers.
That's what I was gonna say. Age of Ultron.
Thor: Ragnarok.
Thor the Dark World.
Thor.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. And
I went to his bar mitzvah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Cool. So, like, the other Hulk movie. There are two.
No.
One's not an MCU.
Both, don't they both show up on the home screen?
We said Ragnarok already.
I said Hulk.
Right, but the other one's not a MCU movie.
Oh, fine.
That's okay. We did, I think, pretty much everything.
So. No, we missed Black Panther.
Oh,
missed,
my God, which is like the best one.
I know.
We missed Black Panther.
I was trying
Panther.
To think of
multiples. And, I mean, not including anything that's, we missed, I think that may have been.
Spider-Man. It. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, Spider-Man Homecoming, Far From Home. Yeah, we missed those two. Yeah. And... I think that's it. I think we got everything else.
Look at us.
Okay. Wow.
Thanks, Disney. You've invaded our brains
completely. yeah.
Give me a job.
Okay, sticking to my Disney Plus home screen. Disney musicals not yet adapted for the stage. I start with Mulan.
Okay.
No, is it Master. Me next?
It's Matt.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Back off, man. The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, that was going to be mine. I'm going to go with Moana.
Sleeping Beauty.
What?
Ella. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Wait, what'd you say?
Oh, sorry, Cinderella. I was so unsure, I whispered it. Cinderella.
Disney one isn't on stage.
Yeah. Zootopia.
Is it a musical?
Oh, we're going with musicals. Oh, I made a mistake. Okay, sorry, my bad.
Well, if you count the weird Shakira song.
Yeah. No, we're doing musicals. I'll put a hand up. My bad. All
right, okay, then you pick a category, Brian.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with musical. We've done this before, but I like this category. Musicals with one word titles.
Annie.
Cats.
Frozen.
Hamilton.
Oliver.
Chicago.
Mame.
Oklahoma.
Carousel.
I don't know. All I can think of is Flora the Red Menace, and that is more than one. Isn't there something like that? Irene is the similar thing I was trying to think of.
Irene?
That's two hands up. So I'm out.
Kevin, what's Irene about?
Yeah.
Come on, Irene.
yeah, that's it.
Great.
That's the opening number, yeah.
Yeah.
My turn to pick a category for just the three of you. Yeah.
It's going to be a boy winner. Yeah.
I know. I'm just like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Oh, the winner of the game gets one of Matt Band's twins, by the way.
So if I win, do I have to take someone else's baby and have three?
If you win, you have to have triplet.
Oh, God. I think my wife will kill you. So
yeah, we didn't clear this with her. So guess what? You get three babies.
I'm going to say... I don't know why I thought of this, but I'm going to say it. Musicals, or maybe just things, with a red poster.
Okay.
The logo is red.
Who goes first?
In my mind, because when we were thinking of all the one name things, I was thinking of posters to
get. Is Matt Band first?
Yes.
Fame.
Chicago.
Walls.
Flower drum song.
Ooh. Annie.
Oh yeah.
Big.
Ooh.
American Psycho.
I don't think there was any red in that.
No, it was white. And his face. Okay, I have a hand up.
Okay.
Do all three of us have hands up? Matt, do you have a hand up?
No.
The category is people that Matt Band doesn't know. Celine Dion songs.
Okay.
And we'll start with that band.
My Heart Will Go On.
I just don't know Celine Dion, but I'm gonna go with the one that sounds like a Backstreet Boys song. I Drove All Night, is that a song?
I Drove All Night is a song, and the Backstreet Boys song you were thinking of is That's the Way It Is.
Yeah, and That's the Way It Is. Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
That's not like a Backstreet Boys.
Wait, is it my turn now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. The French one. I don't know.
All right, we all got hands up here.
Matt, you pick one.
Okay.
He's like Beyonce, so.
I mean, listen, I was going to college in the late or the mid 2000 zeros. What do you call that? The aughts?
The aughts.
Yeah.
The aughts.
Aughts.
So I know my Beyonce, please. Come on. I know the single lady stance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Are you going to do choreography with your children? Like big numbers?
Of course.
You have a full ensemble.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We do.
He's literally having
two girls. Will do sister.
Yes.
Two boys. They'll do sisters.
He's having these children to create a TikTok profile. That's literally.
Yeah. Okay. Famous Twins.
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yours.
Oh wait. No. Let me amend that. Famous people who are twins. So it could be somebody who has a twin, then maybe the twins aren't famous.
But oh, okay. Maybe,
yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot. I'm surprised.
So Brian, do you go first?
Sure. I'm going to start easy and go with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Sure.
Daisy and Violet Hilton.
Sure. Yeah. Ashton Kutcher and his brother.
Oh, that was going to be mine. Oh, twins. Now it's hard because, like, I know brothers and sisters who look like each other.
Yeah.
What's his name from the X-Men movies? Ashmore. Sean Ashmore and his brother.
Yes.
That's good.
That was good.
Mark Ruffalo has a twin, right?
I don't know about that. He might.
Where of? Let's see.
Somebody looking this up?
Yeah, I am.
Interesting. This one's hard.
That's a hard one, right?
I'm pretty sure Mark Ruffalo is a twin.
In a movie about twins.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. Does not have a twin, but he does play identical twins.
Oh, man.
All right, I'll take the hit. I'll take the hit. So I'm out, so I'm picking the category for you two. Yes.
The final category for us.
This is sudden death, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right, for your sudden death category, I would like you to go back and forth on James Bond movie titles.
Oh. Okay. Who's going first?
You can start.
That band will go first.
Okay. Skyfall.
Doctor No.
Die Another Day.
From Russia with Love.
Goldfinger.
You Only Live Twice.
Casino Royale.
Thunderball.
I keep wanting to say Goldmember, and I know that's Austin Powers. That's completely wrong. The Spy Who Loved Me.
Mm-hmm. Diamonds Are Forever.
Spectre.
Octopussy.
That's a real title.
Congratulations, yeah. Brian!
Listen, when your bar mitzvah theme is James Bond, you know every title by heart.
So this was rigged, is what you're saying. Yeah, Kevin, this is fine, you know.
No, I thought you might be the kind of guy that watched a lot of James Bond movies, so I thought you might go tête-à-tête with him.
You know, I wish I did. I do.
I thought that, literally, honestly, because it was Brian's, like, bar mitzvah thing, I just thought it was like a North Jersey thing, so I just said James Bond.
Yes. Actually, over the past 2 days, I've watched Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace, that's the one I was trying to think of. Oh, man. Yeah,
stupid name. Anyway.
No, you haven't even had the babies yet, and already you're forgetting things.
I know. Screwed.
Well, Matt, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. All alone or all along. You know, we end every episode with a quote, and this one is, if life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle the wind. That's the thing.
I was going to say, that's a quote from No No Nanette, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Matt. We really appreciate it. Find him on social media at, was it Batman?
Batman with two T's, 1187. Oh, 1167.
Yeah, you can find him. Just
type in Matt Bang. He'll be fine.
Yeah. You can find us at Broadwasted. You can find us on our Facebook group, on Patreon. We have some cool stuff. Rate and review us. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and then rate and review us. Five stars, please.
Thank you.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us. We had a blast. We hope you had a good time, too.
I did. Thanks, guys. This was so much fun.
Thank you. Back anytime.
But as we end every episode, we raise a glass and we say, zoo-doo-wop-bum. Cheers.
Cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.